its current state on 90.5 WKAR. In 1933, America was in the grip of the Great Depression. Facing the specter of economic ruin, President Franklin D. Roosevelt instituted a number of federal recovery programs which came to be known as Alphabet Soup. One of those was the CCC, the Civilian Conservation Corps.
Virginia, inspiring his Forest Army by a personal visit, President Roosevelt makes his first tour of the Civilian Conservation Corps camps in the Shenandoah Valley.
It's very good to be here at these Virginia CCC camps. I wish I could see them all over the country. And I hope that all over the country they're in as fine condition as the camps that I've seen today. I wish that I could take a couple of months off from the White House and come down here and live with them, because I know I'd get full of health the way they have. The only difference is that they've put on an average of about 12 pounds apiece since they got here, and I'm trying to take off 12 pounds.
The CCC taught 3 million young, unmarried men how to build and maintain outdoor recreational areas, and it gave them stable employment. Today, the program is much smaller, and the state of Michigan is looking to a new funding model to keep it alive. Joining us in the studio today is Ron Olson. He's chief of the Parks and Recreation Division of the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. Welcome, Ron.
Thank you.
Michigan played a big role in the original Civilian Conservation Corps. There's even a CCC museum up north. Tell us just a little bit about the history of the program.
Well, yes, you're correct. There is a museum at North Higgins Lake State Park right across the road there, and it commemorates the program that occurred in Michigan. Many of the state parks in Michigan has facilities that were built or created during that period of time back in the 30s. There's, whether it's restrooms or bridges and things like that. But and many of those remain today and are actively used for our us to support camping and otherwise. Today, we've continued the program. Back in the 80s, there was an endowment that was created, $20 million endowment that was used, set aside so that the interest earned on that was available to use towards the program. And we had work camps scattered around the state, even up until the early 2000s. Camp Vanderbilt, for example, there was another one in the Upper Peninsula, and then Proud Lake Recreation Area had a newer facility constructed where underemployed young adults would come and learn job skills in the outdoors, and they would perform many tasks, maintenance work, stewardship, and the like in the parks. That interest earned on that corpus of the $20 million reduced over a period of time with interest rates going down. And so today, a few years ago, that $20 million endowment was cut from the budget during the tough economic times in the 2009 period of time, 2008.
And so totally?
Completely cut. And so all that was left was the fund balance and then whatever we could put in from park funds. So today, there's a remnant of what was once in place that we do some stewardship activities with invasive species, removing invasive species, and then replanting areas with native plants. And we also run a sign shop at Hartwick Pines State Park that individuals learn how to make signs and things like that and then produce them for us.
What's your budget for the next fiscal year?
Well, the budget for it is probably in the neighborhood of $350,000, approximately. It's actually probably closer to a little around $300,000 now. But just a few years ago, when the endowment existed, it yielded about $1 million a year. Mm. But prior to that, at one time, it was yielding almost $2 million. So at any rate, that's where we are today. So consequently, there was a discussion about reinventing the approach to it, which led us to the amendment to the legislation that occurred and went effective in January 2nd. There were four senators that sponsored a bill, Senator Pavlov, Warren, Hansen, and Green. And the idea was to create an outside entity, nonprofit, that would be the fiduciary and help us run the program from the outside in so that we could provide a lightning rod for funding to start the process to rebuild the corpus so that we could create a more substantial program that would sustain itself. So right now, on October 8th, we're going to convene a committee of 15 that was created in the legislation to seek a nonprofit third party to work with us. And that will be a recommendation from that committee who will meet, as I said, and over the next couple of months, we will identify an appropriate partner and see if that partner would be willing to do this. This is going to take a while because we'll have to find corporate or foundation funding to start building back the corpus. In the meantime, we will continue the small segment of the program, as I described, and hopes that sometime in the future that we'll be able to bring this back. One thing I should mention that we are contemplating is that, as you may know, there's a summer youth employment program that we've operated the last 2 years on initiative in four core cities in Michigan, in Detroit, Pontiac, Saginaw, and Flint. And these are to take 16 to 19-year-olds and provide them with natural resource-based type of employment in the summer to learn job skills. And we're hoping perhaps to somehow combine the two together, but that's in the discussion stage. So consequently, there are a couple of things that we're doing to try to recreate this, because we believe it's a great pathway to reemploy individuals, particularly in urban communities in the state.
Is it premature to ask the nonprofit organizations that are likely candidates for this kind of thing, or could you talk about the criteria that group or groups must have to get involved?
Yeah, the criteria basically is they have to have a tie to some kind of a natural resource base or where their mission is involved in that. An example of one might be the Michigan Recreation and Park Association. It could be perhaps some group associated with conservation districts or some of those sorts of organizations that have nonprofit standings. And this might provide an activity that ties to their mission but would be something new for them to embark upon.
And do you have a detailed framework for how this would work moving forward, if assuming you found that partner?
Well, we have a framework in the legislation, but it's not really detailed in terms of how the nuts and bolts of it would work. That would have to be created under the umbrella of what's provided for in the legislation. The legislation basically ties us all up with the goals and the definitions and the intent of the original Conservation Corps premises, but it doesn't have it mapped out in great detail, and that would be done once we identify a partner.
But if it unfolded as you would like it to unfold, how much would employment increase? How many more young people could you conceivably put to work
That would be directly dependent upon how much funding would be available. That's the key question, because the outcome here is to have more individuals employed.
Okay. And this meeting, once again, October 8th, the state is seeking nonprofit organizations to help foot the bill, and the steering committee meets at MSU October the 8th to start this process for looking for partners. We want to thank Ron Olson for joining us. Ron's the chief of the Parks and Recreation Division of the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. We've been talking about the CCC here in Michigan and its role in the 21st century. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.